Welcome to another episode in the Dairy Farmers of Canada's research podcast series, Paths to On-Farm Excellence, where we discuss priority topics for Canadian dairy farmers. My name is Julia Saracini. I'm an epidemiologist with a passion for improving dairy cattle health and welfare from a One Health perspective. As you've now come to hear, this channel features a number of different series, from animal care to biosecurity to research summaries and beyond. Our goal is to provide farmers and their advisors with useful information that can be applied back home on the farm. If you like the content here, don't forget to subscribe to our feed and tell your friends. Climate change is an important issue that has widespread impacts felt around the world. Although Canada is a northern country, we're not immune to the impacts of climate change and warming temperatures. As global temperatures continue to rise, heat stress is becoming more of an issue for Canadian dairy cattle. While cattle tend to tolerate colder temperatures quite well, they become heat stressed at a lower threshold than humans. Heat stressed cattle show reduced production and reproductive performance, so how do we better equip our dairy cows to be heat tolerant as temperatures continue to rise? Can we genetically select for heat tolerant cattle in Canadian dairy herds? Will selecting for heat tolerance impact other important dairy producing traits? These are some of the questions that Canadian dairy researchers are looking to answer. Our next discussion is with Ivan Campos, a PhD candidate at the University of Guelph working with Dr. Flavio Schenkel. Ivan's research is focused on understanding how genetic evaluation can be used to select for heat tolerance in dairy cattle. So, let's jump in. Hi, Ivan. Thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
Hi, Julia. Thank you so much for having me here today.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're at in your academic journey, just to give the listeners a bit of context about you.
So I'm currently a PhD candidate here at the University of Guelph. I've been working here since my master's. I started my master's in 2018 under the supervision of Dr. Schenkel. So this is part of the group we call CGIL. It's Center for Genetic Improvement of Livestock. And so since my master's, I did hearing and animal breeding, and I'm continuing it on my PhD, where I'm currently now, and hopefully I'll be done soon.
Can you tell us a little bit about the type of research that you're involved in? So what is the general topic that you're focusing on for your PhD?
So as I mentioned, since my master's, I started looking a little bit more towards the animal breeding and genetics and how we can apply actually the knowledge on genetics to animal breeding in a diverse livestock world. In my research, I've been focusing on doing that for or on dairy cattle. So it's interesting. What I've been working with is a very important topic right now to the dairy industry, which is using all this knowledge about genetics and genetic evaluations to select for cows that are more heat tolerant. So more specifically, my research is about developing genetic models to assess heat tolerance in Canadian Holstein cows.
And so when we talk about genetic evaluation, can you tell us a little bit about what it is and how it's done?
Sure. Yeah, that's a very important word, I guess, because it's all over when I talk about my research. And so when we talk about genetic evaluation, we need to think of a particular trait. So let's say, let's think of milk yield. So for the expression of milk yield that cow produce, we have mainly two parts that are involved for the amount of milk produced, which are the environment and the animal's characteristics. In other words, genetics. So we have environment component, a genetic component, and them together, they will produce what we see after all the phenotype. That's what we call basically here as in this example, milk yield. So genetic evaluation is when we perform using a mathematical model, an evaluation to look and to estimate the proportion of a particular trait that is attributed to the genetics. And so after all, what we get from this is the animal's potential considering its genetics for that particular trait. So again, if we are looking at milk production traits, we have an environmental component, but then we do have a genetic component And the interesting thing about working with the genetics is that we can look at that part of genetics that is transmitted, which is passed on to the next generation. So that's the beauty, I would say, in terms of genetics. And we do that through genetic evaluations. We then, for that, we have performance data and family relationship, and we can estimate, again, the animal's genetic potential for a particular trait. And that's also what we come to, what we usually hear about, it's estimate breeding value. So basically, after running a genetic evaluation, we get a value for each animal that is considering their genetic capacity and what will be transmitted on to the next generation.
That was a really great explanation. And I think using the example of milk yield is really helpful, even though you're focusing on heat stress or heat tolerance. So can you tell us a little bit about heat stress in dairy cows? Why is that important? And why is that important for Canada, which is a pretty northern country?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question. Because when I started working with heat stress in Canada, that was a question I had. Well, predominantly cold climate right here in Canada, and how would that be a challenge? Is this something really important or not? So for us to answer that question, in fact, before I jumped into genetic studies, I performed what we call a phenotypic analysis. So basically looking at milk production and environmental conditions. So I studied to see the relationship between milk production and temperature here in Canada. So in my case, what happened is for us to infer about heat stress, we actually have an index, which is called the temperature humidity index. These two major variables, temperature and humidity, they are very important for the animal when it's trying to dissipate heat. And therefore, this is an index that really tells a good story about heat stress. It's what we call an indicator of heat stress. So at first, in my master's especially, I looked at production here in Canada over this temperature humidity index. And it was interesting because as we did that, we could observe a relationship that was quite clear for us, that at a certain THI value, that's the index, production starts to drop. And that means, well, in fact, when temperature goes high, the animal needs to start dissipating heat, and therefore this animal will start using the energy to that particular mechanism and not for production. And during the summer, that's what I observed, even in Canada, that the conditions in terms of heat stress, it's quite here, it's present. And animals, they are exposed to those conditions, and we could see the production going down. And it's interesting because if you think of, well, we see this in Canada, what's happening all over the places in the world where temperature is already, you know, tropical countries where temperature is quite high in general. The interesting fact is that, well, if you think of Canada, we have a quite distinct situations in terms of weather, right? We have winter and then we have summer. And then during the winter, temperature goes down. It's pretty cold, snow. But then in the summer, that's what we have. We have about 4 months that temperature is high. And with humidity, yeah, dissipation, heat dissipation is really hard. And the animal really experienced this situation. And we can see that production is affected. Now, with that information, then we jumped into to see how can we help in terms of using genetics. Can we select animals that are genetically more adapted to environmental, hot environmental conditions? Can we identify a variance, you know, a variability, and see, well, there are animals, in fact, that they are better at high temperatures. So that's what I did also in my research. And so we started to understand how heat stress affected their industry in Canada. And we concluded, yes, it is a challenge, you know, even in Canada during the summer with all temperature going up. And then we moved forward with the considerations we have. And of course, with my knowledge in terms of genetics, can we select cows that are genetically better able to cope with heat?
And you hit on a really important point there. You know, in Canada, just because we are considered to be a northern country and we do have pretty cold winters with snow, doesn't mean that we are immune to things like heat stress, particularly as it relates to climate change. You know, we're recording this in August, which is a typically the hottest month for us in Canada. And just a few weeks ago, I believe that globally, we broke world records for the hottest days on record, which is just another example of how prominent climate change is and how these increasing temperatures are a problem today and not just a problem for the future. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what specific studies you're working on right now that look at heat tolerance and models for genetic evaluation?
Absolutely. Yeah. So what I have been doing and I'm currently working on is in my study, we have modeled heat tolerance considering the production over what I said before, the temperature and humidity gradient. So at first, we are interested in understanding how production is affected by heat stress. And now looking at the genetic component, as I mentioned in genetic evaluation, we wanted to include the information about the environment when we are performing these evaluations. So we observed genetic variability for heat tolerance in Canadian Holstein cows. That was the first step in our study, which indicates a potential for selection for this trait. And what happens is that what we are looking is that there are animals that, considering their genetics, they are more tolerant than others. And we look at how they perform under heat stress conditions. And that is what we want, right? When we investigate a particular trait that can be target of selection, it is important to also investigate a genetic correlation with traits that are economically important. So it's not only about identifying animals that are genetically more heat tolerant, but we wanted to investigate how would that affect other traits, right? Are those animals also good in production? Maybe not, right? So that was the question we had, is what is the relationship between heat tolerance and production? Under heat stress conditions, we have production, and under thermal comfort situation, we have production. We wanted to see this relationship. So in our study, we observed that there is a negative genetic correlation, which means that if we keep selecting for production without paying attention to heat tolerance, we may have animals more sensitive to heat stress conditions in our herds. Now, the important thing is that it doesn't stop there. And that's, again, a good thing for us as researchers, because what really happened and what we wanted to see is that the genetic correlation is not a unity, which means it's not 100%. And therefore, there are animals that they are producing well, and they also have, in terms of their genetics, a high capacity to tolerate heat. And therefore, what tells us is that it is possible for us to combine these two traits, let's say, right, a production and heat tolerance. So this is the more specifics of my study. Again, working with performance records all over Canada, of course, taking into consideration the different climate profiles we have across the country, and also different levels of productions, right? I started my master's and my work looking at Quebec and Ontario, which are the two main provinces in Canada in terms of the milk production, right? And in fact, those two provinces that, if you look in terms of the climate profile, those two provinces, they are going to face a very important challenge with regards to the increase in temperature, right? We have Ontario with a great number of farms in the very south part of the province. And therefore, you know, the temperature is increasing. So it's really important for us to keep our eyes on that. And my research is trying to take care of that in terms of genetics.
Tell us a little bit about where you got this data from. I know you mentioned in your master's, you were kind of predominantly looking at Ontario and Quebec. For your PhD, was that across Canada? Where did you kind of get the data from? Just to paint a little bit of a picture for our listeners here.
As I mentioned, I started looking at Ontario and Quebec since they were the main province, but also this is quite a part of a pioneer study, you know, assessing heat stress in Canada. And in our case, with a little bit of a view on genetics, there are a few other studies and researchers, especially in Quebec, that they also have looked at in heat stress and how heat stress affects the dairy industry in Canada. So basically we looked at this and we started to learn a bit of the relationship and how, you know, as I mentioned, production would change considering the temperature. In terms of data, we have had access to records, test day records from several farms in Canada. That was provided by Lactanet, a huge data set containing this information of the identification of the animal, of course, so the pairing number, calving date, and then, of course, milk yield, fat yield, and protein yield. And that's also important for me to mention in terms of data and the traits that I've been looking into, not only milk yield, okay? I've worked and looked at fat and protein yield. And before I forget again, but it's really important to mention that when we looked at, again, the relationship of temperature, heat stress conditions, and production, we noticed that especially for fat and protein yield, the decline is even more drastic. So we saw that for those two milk components, heat stress is affecting way different than milk yield, which is important because farmers in Canada, they are paid based on those two components, right? So we even have that in the back of our minds because comparing and considering other cities around the world, there are some places that they are focusing more in milk yield, on milk yield. Whereas here, it's important for us to really consider those two other milk components. So again, back to the data structure, that's what I had. And we have information for the cows. We have test day records across several years. So I didn't look just one specific year. I looked into about 5 to 7 years range, which would even help us in terms of modeling heat stress, right? How that would affect milk production. So we have that information as well. And that really allowed us to have a very good and informative data structure that would give us power in our estimations. So the genetic evaluation, as I mentioned, the accuracy of those values, those breeding values is quite enough or high enough for us to trust them. So we can understand, again, as I mentioned, the genetic correlation, we could observe that. It is negative, but it's not 100%. There is room for us to explore that as well in terms of animals that they produce well under heat stress conditions. So we don't want to have production going down. And that's the way we can study that. But it's important for me to also mention that there are different ways we can look at heat tolerance, right? As I mentioned, I had several records from several herds, but I didn't have specific information in terms of animal-based indicators of heat stress. For example, rectal temperature or even the animal's temperature, I didn't have that. I worked with the temperature outside, so external to the animal, and through that, I would infer and assess the effect of heat stress. But there are some studies that they go into a little deeper level, which again, give a different story and some other informations, but then you would have a device inserted in the cows to measure the temperature, heart rate, respiration rate, and that is also important because it has to do with how the animal is coping with a heat stress condition, right? In my case, it's more what I would say a quantitative approach, and therefore we have, again, a bunch of records, a huge data set, but that help us and give us enough information to start drawing the conclusions that we have done so far.
Absolutely. You mentioned a good point there too about behavioral indicators of heat stress, which I think kind of ties in the animal welfare piece of this as well, is that we don't just want our cows to be able to produce well regardless of the temperature. We want them to be comfortable as well. I think you mentioned thermal comfort previously and how that is, you know, kind of the more natural state or more comfortable state for animals depending on the temperature. And so that's a good point as well, that selecting for more heat tolerant cattle will not only help in terms of the climate and production and parameters that way, but also helps to keep animals more comfortable as we see the temperatures rising, which I think animal welfare is always an important component to include as well. So you mentioned that just selecting for heat tolerance might have negative effects on milk yield, production, or protein and fat as well. But you kind of alluded to the fact that there is a direction that we can go that kind of maximizes both of these. So what does the outcomes of your study mean for genetic selection and how we are going to be selecting for heat tolerance in cattle in the future?
So in our case of genetic selection and how we can implement is mainly through indices. So we have an index, we use what we call the selection index theory, and therefore it has to do with basically, okay, we assign different weights to the particular traits that we want to select for. So with this different weights, we are able to optimize the selection as a whole. So we want to select an animal that produces a lot of milk. But if that will interfere, as I mentioned, if we neglect heat tolerance, we may be selecting a high producing cow. Yes, that would be really good for production. But when summer hits, production will go down. But we don't want that. We need to find a balance. And this balance we find when we work with an index where we have several traits included in this. Let's see, and it's almost like it looks like an equation. Okay, you have different factors. We are going to sum them up because that's what we want. But then we need to understand the relationship. As I mentioned, correlation. We first looked at correlation between heat tolerance and milk production, but we are going to look at other economically important traits, so fertility traits and other functional traits, right? We want to be aware of how this particular trait of heat tolerance is connected, quote unquote, connected with other traits, so that we don't want to do any step that we are not aware of this complexity. So through an index, we are able to include that. And for the producer, they will be able to select animals when they look at the estimated breeding value. That breeding value will contain production, fertility, heat tolerance, and other economically important traits. So that is what we are heading to. Like, we are now understanding this relationship with other economically important traits. We've been trying to really see if we can also work together with those production traits of milk yield, fat yield, and protein yield, right? We can say a multiple trait analysis. And then, of course, investigating the correlation, knowing and assessing very well how we can implement and to what weight we need to assign to get the optimum index, right?
Yeah, that's excellent. And I think that is a really important thing to cue for anybody listening, really, but farmers in particular, is that we're kind of working towards this optimal selection of all these genetic traits that we know to be important both for the financial aspect of dairy farming, but also the animal comfort, animal welfare piece, as well as looking at things that'll be impacting us into the future. For example, heat tolerance continuing to be a consideration. So when we think about genetics, genetic selection, it's often not something that we implement today and see a result tomorrow. So how far out are we from seeing these heat tolerant cattle that have a nice balance, as you mentioned, in terms of production, fertility qualities as well, and farmers actually being able to see those types of animals being implemented into their herd and implemented into their breeding program.
So I've been talking a lot about genetic selection, but the production, the outcome is a result of environment and genetics, right? And there's also interaction. So indeed, with the projections that we have considering the climate change and global warming, genetics will contribute, you know, but it will contribute with specifically changes in the environment, right? So here, in terms of what we are talking about, we are thinking of, you know, implementation of heat abatement devices, right? So we can use that as well to help to cope and tackle this environmental challenge. Now, interesting thing, and again, the beauty, I would say, of genetics is that this is a way we can, when we are thinking about a genetic solution, we are thinking of a solution that is cumulative and permanent, right? Because as I mentioned before, we estimate a breeding value, the genetic evaluation is performed, and we have this value considering the genetic potential of an animal, and that will be transmitted to the next generation. And then, of course, it comes to the question that you have now that, okay, how long do we need to wait, or do we see the results as in the next generation? How does it work, Ivan? That's a good point. So for me, as of today, what I can say is that we need to remember that about the cumulative and permanent solution, which means that it is a progressive way that we are tackling this environmental challenge, where we are increasing the overall heat tolerance of the Canadian holstings, right? In my studies, I have looked at or studied and used pedigree information. So I know the sire and the dam, and then the daughters, and we have records, performance records from those daughters, and then they became dams. And so I have all that structure as well. And that allowed us to do a good job in terms of genetics, right? In terms of genetic progress, we wait to have records from the daughters, right? So we can have that included in our analysis to get and estimate those breeding values. The other thing, based on this knowledge that I have built up throughout my master's and PhD, we are also going to include genomic information. So I will not give you an exact number of years or something like this in terms of seeing the result, you know, for the farmers. But what I can tell about is how, especially when we use genomic information, so when we have animals genotyped and then we include that in our analysis, that speeds up the process. So the process, which I mean here, is the genetic progress. Okay, we reduce the generation interval, and therefore, in terms of seeing the results, we start seeing it earlier than when we use a pedigree only. So the progress we see and we expect is that we start seeing an improvement in the overall heat tolerance as soon as we start really selecting for heat tolerance. So when we have that implemented in an index, we can see in the next generation and the next generation, and as we continue selecting for that, we will eventually see, specifically because it takes time. And also, if we think of the challenge, it will not happen like in a blink of an eye. It's going to be like in a progressive way, right?
Definitely. I think genetics is a very, very interesting topic. It teaches a lot, especially patients as well. You know, you might be able to come up with a solution or see a kind of trend or progression, but it takes a little bit of time to actually see that in the Canadian Holstein herd, as you mentioned. And so like you said, there are things that farmers can do to improve the environmental within the barn conditions for cattle to kind of help them with heat abatement and heat tolerance as we see temperatures rising until we can kind of see the genetic component play out in the actual herd. And so I think that's an important part to consider, the environmental component, what we have control of, and providing some sort of cow comfort aspects while we can, and then looking ahead to the future as we start to see some of these genetic parameters come into play over time. So just as kind of a couple final questions here, what sort of impact do you hope that your research will have for dairy farmers, dairy cattle, and the dairy industry in general?
Yeah, it is really important for us to remember that we may have different fronts to which we can take and use in terms of producing well for a dairy farmer, keeping, you know, welfare and all sorts of things. So in my case, as I mentioned, a combination of implementation of heat abatement devices and genetics. When we implement all this heat abatement devices, well, first, they consume energy, right? And if we think ahead, if we think about future, well, we are really not trying to use more energy, right? In the future, what we want is to be as sustainable as we can. So with genetics, that is a cumulative solution. We can go towards this direction, right? And here in my case, we are talking about heat stress, but there are so many other traits we can think of that we can, of course, using, you know, nutrition management practice, to contribute to keeping up a sustainable dairy industry. But genetics is really important, and it plays a very, very important role in that sense.
Absolutely. You mentioned sustainability, and I think when we think about sustainability, it really ties into longevity too, about the longevity of the dairy industry, being able to make sure that dairy farmers are able to continue on in their industry. I think that really tied everything together in terms of looking at this from a One Health perspective, the health of and welfare of the animals, the farmers, but also the environment, and really considering how our actions today impact the future and longevity and sustainability of the industry for tomorrow. So what are some key take-home messages that you would want to share with farmers, just kind of to close out here? Any final messages that you think would be important to share for your work and this topic in general?
With genetics, it's really a way we can move, considering the environmental challenges, the challenges that the dairy industry will have. We can work together with other fronts, nutrition and the management practices and genetics and researches in general. I think it's really important for right now to really see the connection and a good relationship between farmers, researchers, and the industry as a whole, so we can work together to face what's coming and what is already happening.
Well, thank you so much for being here today, Ivan. It's been a pleasure to listen to you and learn more about what you're doing. I think that there is so much importance in terms of the work that you're doing for, like you mentioned, farmers today, farmers tomorrow, and farmers into the future, but also for researchers and industry representatives and any key stakeholders, really. As you kind of mentioned and alluded to, climate change and our impact on the environment is something that will impact us all, including our animals. And so I think it's really important to continue on with what you're working on. And we'll definitely keep an eye out to hear more about how your PhD progresses and the work that you're doing in the future. So with that, can you share where our listeners can find out more information about your work, or if they have questions, where they can reach out to?
Sure. I would suggest going to the University Guelph page and looking for heat tolerance, heat stress in Canada, and then you will find either my name or Dr. Schinkel's group, and you can find more the links for this papers and our emails where you can reach out to us if you have a question, if you wanted to discuss, or you have anything that you want to talk about this particular topic. You can reach out to us through that.
Well, thank you so much, Ivan. It was great to chat with you today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Julia.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Farmers of Canada's research podcast series. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. For more information, please visit dairyfarmersofcanada.ca/en/dairy-research. This podcast was narrated by myself, Julia Saracini, produced by Aaron Winans, and edited by Carly Wright. Thank you to our guests and to you for listening. This project is part of Dairy Research Cluster 3, a national research funding program made possible by Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada's AgriScience Clusters program, Dairy Farmers of Canada, Lactinet, and Novolet.